I do hope you enjoyed the snow on your tree this morning. I couldn't believe it. I woke up early and I looked out and I thought, wow, we are in a winter world. And I thought, man alive, I wasn't planning on going here. I was planning on going to, some island or something. But anyway, it's great to see you here. I know we had to work a little bit more to make it, and I'm very thankful. I've already said thank you to some of those who have worked making our walkway clear, and the many ways people minister to us, and sometimes we don't even know who it was, right? We thank the Lord for them, and thank the Lord just that we can get together. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have a building, just to be able to be warm and comfortable, but more importantly, to have people to have connection and fellowship with the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. And we need one another. We live in a world that has become increasingly isolated. But the Lord did not design us to live isolated lives. He designed us to live in fellowship with one another. And because we're in the body of Christ, we have this privilege. Well, let's ask God to help us. We always, obviously need His help. Father, we are thankful that we can come together. We have a reason to come together. Sometimes when I'm driving down the road on a Sunday morning, I think we're going to something that's eternal. We talk about eternal stuff. And Father, we thank you that you've given us purpose and meaning, that is an option for us. We don't have to live a life that is over tomorrow. We in Christ, we have life that's forever. We rejoice that we have this life which has purpose and meaning for each one of us. Pray that none of us have stayed outside of that life, have drawn away from that purpose. Father, we know as we walk our journey, it's not easy. We need you. We need your help. We need your guidance. We need your strength. And we need that right now. As we open your book, we want to make sure we treat it as you would want us to treat it, that we'll be dependent on your Spirit, and we'll speak your words according to your will at this moment in time. Just work in each of our hearts to accomplish your will. In Jesus' name, amen. I was looking at a little personal, kind of one of those events they were talking about. You know, every once in a while they'll show a human interest story. And I was I happened to see something, and I thought, well, for some reason I clicked it on. Anyway, it was this man, and you may have seen this. I saw actually several different stories that were a little bit similar, but this man, it was obviously a cold winter day, and he was walking his dog, and they were walking past a frozen pond. And so they were just walking along, and all of a sudden they saw some other dogs, or two other dogs, and they were running around, and they went on the pond as well. And they were just having, I guess, whatever dogs do on a pond, they're having fun, right? But anyway, all of a sudden, and obviously the dogs weren't thinking, but the ice was too thin, and the two dogs just went under, right? The ice broke, and they went down. And of course, they were yelping, whatever dogs do when they're freezing to death, right? And fighting, trying to, and of course, they can't get back on. Well, this man walking along, he had his dog, and he looked out, and so he had, obviously he cared about dogs, and he took off his shirt, and he started going on the ice, and whatever you do when you're, but anyway, he started breaking ice so he could, and finally he was able to get out, and he brought one dog back in, and then it was harder on the other dog to get back, but he went, and actually his dog went with him the second time, so and he went out, and they got both dogs back to shore, right? It was interesting, just in the little story. This man actually had been trained in saving people out of ice, and it was interesting his background, but just unique situation, right? But you know, when you go under, and I've never fallen through the ice. I remember one time I was watching one of our sons and his friend, and we were down. This is when we lived in Nova Scotia, and we were down on close to a harbor that we lived next to, and we were just kind of walking along, and I saw these, my son and another kid, And they were running about this time of the year on the ice. And I thought, oh, man. They were in a harbor, obviously, right off the Atlantic. And I thought, oh, God spare them. Anyway, thankfully, they got off soon enough. Get off that ice! They finally got off, right? But if you would have gone through, and maybe you have, you're in deep trouble if you're in the wrong spot and you can't get out. And there's nobody to help you. You know what? We're all in deep trouble with sin. We may not have fallen through the ice, but we've all fallen in sin. And that's why we definitely need someone who's outside of ourselves, who knows and is able to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And that's where Christ comes into the picture. We all are born with this sin thing. We've talked about that, right? None of us are exempt. Doesn't matter how old you are, how many times you've been to church. We're all born with this sin thing. And it's, we call it a sin nature. And it can sink us. And it is sink. I look at the news, and I saw it the other day. I got to pull away from this. I just it was depressing so much, you know. But what's really the, you know, we say, well, it's politics or, you know, it's environment. But really the ultimate big problem what we all face is sin. So this sin nature, but that causes us to act out in sins. Now, we're not going to have a roll call, but what is one of the sins you did this week? Now, again, we're not raising hands, right? But you know what? None of us are exempt. It may have been a really rotten attitude. It may have been you said something to somebody that they could not believe you said it. And you can't believe you said it. It could be a number of things. Sin. How would we define sin? Well, one is, some have said, well, sin is selfishness. And you know, that's true. We live in a very selfish world. And that's what makes us so cruel to other people, because if it's all about me, I don't care about you, and everybody's going to suffer around me, right? But that's not an adequate definition. It deals with sin a little bit, but it doesn't share the whole picture. Another said, and this is true too, it's a violation of God's law. We break God's commands. We break His rules. And that is sin. But that probably even is probably maybe not big enough to express what sin really is. Sin ultimately, as one theologian has said, sin is anything contrary to the character of God. Let me just read it again. It's a nice short definition. Sin is anything contrary to the character of God. Now, why is that a big deal? Well, if you think about it, God is the one, He's the sovereign. He made us. It's not all about us. He has made us and the world around us. And if we're out of sync with Him, who is holy and righteous and good, if we're out of sync with Him, that is a problem. Because we're in His world. And so, sin is when we're out of sync with God. We're doing things, either thinking or acting, that is contrary to God's character. And therefore, as we've said, and you've noted, you've heard it probably 100 times, we need forgiveness for our sin. Just think of this, whatever you did this week, you know, maybe as little, maybe as big in your eyes, but you need forgiveness for that. And that's why Christ died for our sins. He rose from the dead. We just, you know, I enjoy Easter, right? You think about not only the death, but the resurrection. And that's why He can save you. And there's nothing else. But then, as we've talked about so much, we want to make sure we get this, because if we don't get this, we can sure mess up our lives. And that is to know freedom from the nature of sin. Now, we still have this nature, even if you're a Christian, but we got to learn how to live free from it so we're not in bondage to it. So many dear, dear, even Christian people are going around and they got shackles, spiritual shackles. And you know, you can pretend they're not there for a while. You can pretend. You know, this is not a shackle. This is just fun. The problem is, the longer you pretend, the stronger, the more powerful, the more crippling the shackles of sin become. I was watching a thing just yesterday, a guy, started messing around with porn. And, you know, it's just fun, right? It's exciting. It was kind of meeting a need in his life. But as he was going along, the shackles of the porn became so great, he no longer could say no to it, and he no longer was enjoying it. But he was entrapped by it. And say, God, I don't want to stay stuck. I don't want to be imprisoned. I don't want to be shackled. And God says, you don't have to be. I got something better for you. I love you too much to leave you that way. But you got to pay attention to what I've done for you, to what I've done for you through my son. That's when we talked about in Romans 8, the very first, we knock on the door, we walk in, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk by the Spirit. You don't have to be under that internal condemnation. Oh man, what a mess up I am. You know, there's some people, they just go through the whole life and they look at themselves as such a rotten wretch. And they go through, and even Christians, they think, man, I just hate myself. But you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to be in that eternal condemnation. And that's all because of what Christ did. And this is in verse 3 of Romans 8, if you haven't been there, but Romans 3, for what the law could not do. Remember in Romans 7, everybody was trying to shape up. And the law was designed, obviously it was God's rules, his principles, his design. But we keep falling short. We don't measure up. We don't reach his standard. The law couldn't do it. It couldn't do it. Weak as it was through the flesh, man's human nature dominated by sin. We got this thing and it drags us down even as a Christian. You don't get this figured out, you're going to be dragging that ball and chain until your grave. And there's some Christians that are. You know, have you ever been one of those funerals? And I've had to do a few funerals where I remember in the past, and you think, what am I going to say? Somebody, you know, like not, weren't even, they weren't even in. I wasn't a part of their family. They asked me to do this, and I think, what am I going to say? What am I going to say about this person? You know, sometimes you've been to one of those funerals where you went to the funeral and you knew the person, and they're talking about this wonderful person, and you're thinking, I came to the wrong funeral. That's not the guy, right? But some Christians, they're going to go right down and to the end and think, whoa, you were entrapped to the very end of your life. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to be that person. You don't have to be condemned. Although, because the reason we don't is because what Christ has done. Notice it says, as an offering for sin, Christ, he condemned sin in the flesh. He crushed it. He broke it. In Christ, we have the power, and we've said this 100 times, but I'm going to say it again and again because it needs to resonate in our mind so that it's not just something you heard, but something you believe. And the whole thing is freed from sin. Now, you can put yourself in a prison house, that's for sure. You can take yourself to jail. But we want to take the get out of jail card. And we don't have to live in bondage. We can live in the freedom that is provided for us through Christ. So that, you know what? And if we get this and we understand what God has provided for us, we can actually live lives that we won't be ashamed of. That God can be pleased with. That his law, notice this is verse 4, that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. We're not under the law, but we're to live in the righteousness that the law requires. A life that, you know, really when you get it right, when you live life, that brings a greater joy to you. You know, the sin thing in our world, the message is, you know, sin is fun, right is stupid. Right? But when you live consistent, when we're in sync with God, that brings the greatest joy. Because he knows how to make life work. He knows how to have joy in life. Who wants to rip yourself off? There's a lot of people who are ripping themselves off because they bought in to what the world has promised. And it turns out to be ashes. Now, we can live this thing in God's strength. Now notice, how does this provision, what does it look like? How do we apply it? This is, brings us to verse 4 of Romans 8. So the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, who do not walk, live, act according to the flesh. Now, the flesh, again, we said, is our human nature. And as it's viewed here in its weakness and its sinfulness. Okay, so let's just take a look inward at this weak thing. To walk in the flesh, one puts it, is to derive strength from the old natural source of life. Another puts it, that is my old strength, in my own strength, and under my own direction. Now, let's think about in flesh, walking in the flesh, walking in the flesh. Now, walking in the flesh. Now, some people have chosen, I'm going to, again, going back to that video I saw of this guy that was entrapped in porn. And by the way, he was raised in a Christian church. And, in his case, he wanted to live out the evil as much as he could. That was what the flesh was for him. But in Romans 7, Paul wasn't just trying to live out evil. Actually, he was trying to get it right. So living in the flesh, it may mean we're intentionally being stupid and sinful, or it may mean I'm trying my very best to get it right, to do right. I'm trying to love my wife. I'm trying to be a good father. I'm trying to be a good friend. But I'm not making it. I'm not getting it together. It just keeps falling apart. In my flesh, in the weakness, that's a problem. Paul was trying to get it together, and he couldn't. Remember, when the Lord Jesus went to the garden and he was praying, he said to Peter and his intimate circle, he said, "Hey guys, pray for me. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to pray over there." Right now, he's getting ready to go to the cross, right? And he said, "Guys, I'm going to go over there, and I want you to pray. Just pray for me. I need you to pray for me." What'd they do? "Oh man, I'm really getting tired. I'm a little sleepy," right? All three of them fell asleep. You jerks! The most critical point in his whole life, and they fall asleep on him. What does he say? He comes back. He doesn't say, "You jerks." He said this: "Keeping watch and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." The flesh is weak. Even when we want to do the right thing. Now, in our passage in Romans 6:19, the Lord through Paul says, the weakness of your flesh, that's in verse 19, the weakness of your flesh. He said, I'm trying to explain something to you, but because the weakness of your flesh, it's hard for you to get this. So I'm kind of bringing it down to your level, the weakness of the flesh. And then he says this is another passage. This is in Romans 6:19, the weakness of your flesh, and then, I'm sorry, jumping down to 8:3, the law, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. You know, we are a lot more vulnerable and weak than we think. In our world, we've got the thing is, you know, you can do it. You can do it, like the little choo-choo train going up. You can do it. 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 You know what? There's some things you can accomplish. But eternal stuff, stuff that pleases God, you can't do it on your own. Because of the flesh. Now, the Galatians were a real example of this. Now, we're talking, in this part of Galatians that I'm referring to, is talking to Galatian Christians. But you know what? They kind of went back to the good old days of the law-keeping stuff, legalistic in their mindset. And they were trying to please God by legalism, by going rules that God hadn't imposed on them. And Paul says in Galatians 3:3, "Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit?" They were saved. And the Spirit of God had worked on them, and they had come to Christ. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you so foolish? You can't get this? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, or are you now being perfected by the flesh? You see, if we try to just improve our lives, you know, and let's say, and this is true in lots of places, a lot of times somebody says, well, they'll just give us a box of rules, and then you just live by those rules, and everything will go. Now, life has rules, I understand that. But it's not, first of all, we've got to make sure they're God's rules, but second of all, we can't live those rules in our own strength. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, even as Christians, having begun by the Spirit, that you're trying to live this out in the strength of the flesh? You see, when we do that, that's where we've said this before, but so many Christians get so discouraged. And legalists get kind of hyper on this thing because they love to look down, but usually what they're doing, a legalist is covering their own tail because they can't keep it either, but they're not telling you. Do we really think we live the Christian life in our own strength? We're not to put confidence in the flesh. Remember what Philippians, this is a passage in Philippians 3. Paul writing out some really good things about their Christian life, and he says this, put no confidence in the flesh. Put no confidence in the flesh. God does not want us to depend on ourselves to live this life. There's another passage, and where the word flesh is used, sarx is the word, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk, Paul writes, though we walk in the flesh, we walk in this human body, and we have this capacity, right? We do not war according to the flesh. Now just think of all the battles you got. I'm trying to watch out, I'm not supposed to go, I'm stuck here. I'm not supposed to go beyond, but think of all the battles we got, okay? Are you trying to war, are you trying to win the battle? Let's go back to this guy who's dealing with pornography. Let's say, you know what he said? He said this thing, it just blew me away. It made my heart so sad. He says, the average person now who sees pornography, their average age now of seeing it for the first time is 11 years old. 11 years old. Now let me tell you something. We have dumped a whole mess of stuff on our young generation, and they can't hardly spell their name yet, let alone deal with this. So they've got to learn, and we've got to help them, and we've got to do this for ourselves. Don't allow the flesh to wreck your life. Don't try to just do it yourself. You cannot, let's say, and I imagine someone in here is stuck on pornography. Now, this is not my message primarily on that, but there is a way out, but it's not through the flesh. It's not by just gritting your teeth. You don't have to stay stuck. You can. You may choose to, but you do not have to. And of course, there's so many other things. But he says, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, spiritual fortresses. So the point is this, we can't do it on our own. I remember one time when we had moved to Nova Scotia, one thing we took, I don't know why we took this, but anyway, we had this swing set. And the boys were small at that point, and so the swing set though wasn't just like the angles, you know, the angle down set where you just set it on top of the ground. This one went straight down. You had four posts and they went straight down, and you had to dig these holes and then bury them, right? And so I thought, well, we brought it and I put it together. And I thought, well, I'm going to dig these four holes and I'll just set it right down and I'll pack the dirt and it'll just be right and the kids can use it and be fun. And so I started digging in Nova Scotia and it's kind of like living in Bancroft. Dear me, I never knew there were so many rocks in the whole world. And they were all in my backyard. And so I'm digging this, what is supposed to, I mean, the pipe is only that big. I mean, it's only maybe 2 inches wide, right, for each pipe. So, you know, dig a little dinky hole and drop it in. No way, Jose. That is not going to work. You start digging down, you go down about 2 inches, and then you, bong, your shovel, you know, bong. And then you realize, oh man, there's something down here far more than dirt. And so you start digging, and I get these big rocks. I mean, like boulder stuff, right? And you start, and so you're prying them out. You're not, you know, you're prying them out. And you got all of this. That was, it was the most, it was the longest project I've had in a long time. And so anyway, so I dig these boulders out, and they're laying on the ground, right? And I think, what do I do with these boulders? And so I decided, well, I'm going to take them over here, because we had a place, a little pond, and I was going to take them down there and kind of get rid of them. And my son, who was just a little dude at that time, I was looking at this big boulder. He says, I'll carry it. I'm thinking, that'd be a good deal, right? I don't think I can carry it. You know, that's the way we are with God, right? I can carry it. I can do it. I'll call you later if I need you, right? The thing is, we need him every hour. We can't pick it up. There's things that are just too heavy, just too tough, too hard to deal with. We can't do it in the flesh, leaning on our own strength. But we can do what God wants us to do when we walk according to the Spirit. And that's the bottom of four. But according to the Spirit, it's another way of living life. Galatians 5:16 says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. Now, if you want to carry out the desire of the flesh, you don't need the Spirit. But if we really want to get life right, and we want to be in sync with the Sovereign, we need the Spirit of God. If you've trusted Christ, you have the Spirit of God lives in you, okay? He lives in you. And you need him to empower you to do whatever it is he calls you to do. So walk by the Spirit, and you will not mess up your life. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now just think back again to this man who was all wrapped up in pornography. What did he lose? Well, he lost his wife. And he lost all the dreams that he had. His life ended up in big fat zero before he learned to walk by the Spirit. Now, we don't have to go to zero. Now, Paul teaches us in Romans 7, some of us, the only way we want to learn to walk by the Spirit is we have to feel the wretchedness of our sin. Now, I hope we don't have to go to the bottom of the bucket. Remember I told you my story of my friend Vic, and he years back in Dodge City, and Vic had come out of a very, very tough family. I mean, it was devastating. I never, you know, of all the things he went through, he started doing glue on the they started to do the glue thing, and he didn't even know it was illegal. They just did it on the street when the cops would be driving by. He's 5 years old, doing glue. And of course, that, you know, alcohol, his dad was an alcoholic. Didn't have a mom, she'd been killed. He was on drugs. He said to me one time, he said, you have to be a big fat zero. What he meant by that, before you look to the Lord, you have to realize you need the Lord. And he had come to the end of his road. And by God's grace, God turned his life around. But you see, we can't walk just in our own strength. We have to walk by the power of the Spirit. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? One has said this, it is a life of habitual dependence upon the Spirit. We might put it this way. It is to live conscious and continually dependent upon the Spirit of God to do in me and through me what I can't do myself. I realize that I can't do this, but through his power, I can do what God calls me to do. Now, you know what? We're not very good at looking to the Lord, depending on the Lord. It doesn't seem to be a natural thing to us. Now, let me ask you this question, if you're a Christian. How many times this week did you have any time with the Lord in the Word? Again, we're not trying to run guilt trip, but just think about it. Just think. You see, a lot of times we think we can get up in the morning, we can just launch into life, and I can do it myself. Or we say, let me think of this. When was the last time you really went to the Lord and just talked to Him about something? God, I need You. I need You. I help me. See, a lot of times our prayer life is really wimpy. Why? Well, I'm too busy, and I really don't need Him. How about, let's just think about what you're going through right now. Maybe you've got plans. Maybe you have dreams. You're in a situation. Have you asked yourself the question, how does God relate to my situation right now? Does he have anything to do? Does he have any concern? Does he have any purpose? Does he have any meaning? What does He want me to do? How does He relate in my situation right now? Because He does, whether we recognize it or not. He wants the best for us. And that, you know, and all of us are in different zones, different situations. But whether you're driving down the road, you're working, you know, in some kind of lot, you're holding a little baby during the middle of the night, whatever it is, God has purpose for you. God has plan for you. But a lot of times we just go through the motions, just kind of hanging on, without sensing that God is with me, for me, and can empower me. I mean, I remember the first 3 months of our second son was born. He had colic. I mean, we were up all hours of the night. That's when you say, Lord, I need You every hour. This kid's not going to make it till sunrise, right? We need the Lord every moment of our day. Only the believer, one writes, who has gone down into defeat under the relentless power of our sin nature can appreciate the necessity of walking in dependence on the Holy Spirit. Let me just ask you this. What are you dependent on to make life work? Is it just yourself? I think a lot of times, in our sense of not connecting with the Lord on a regular basis, not seeing we need Him, it shows our greatest weakness, and it will result in our greatest failures. Let me just conclude with this little story. I had a great mom, loved my mom, and my dad too. Dad had passed away, and mom, as she became more frail, she needed more attention. She had to move out of her house and go to more of a care facility, which was fine. It was a great place for her, and she did pretty well. But she had different physical issues, and one time she had to go to the hospital again, and a little hospital, a little community, and I'm sure she received good care. And she was going to, I was talking to my brother, I was talking to him on the phone, because we were in Canada at that point. I was talking to him on the phone, and he lived right there, and he said, well, Mom's going to get out tomorrow. She's going to get out and be able to go back. And I said, well, that's great, because she had made progress, right? She's making progress. And then he called me the next day. Mom had, apparently in the middle of the night in the hospital, little community hospital. Apparently she didn't want to call the nurse to help her. She needed to get up and go to the washroom. She thought, well, she apparently didn't want to bother anybody. She didn't need any help. She was doing pretty good. She got up just a few steps, apparently, and she had a tragic fall. She never recovered from that fall. You see, she didn't, from a human standpoint, she didn't want to get help. She didn't want to bother anybody. And many of us are like my dear mom. We think we can do it ourselves. And so, we're trying to live life. You know, maybe it's that we don't want to tell anybody what we're struggling with. we don't even really think much about the Lord and His availability to us. But some dear Christians have had some terrible falls because they haven't leaned on the Lord. See, the danger is we walk out of here and we walk in the flesh, self-dependent, instead of Spirit-dependent. May God help us realize we can't walk out of here safely on our own, apart from His power. May we learn to lean on Him and not be flesh-dependent, but Spirit-dependent. Let's pray. God, help us learn before we have a tragic fall. And Father, none of us are exempt from a tragic fall. God, help us humble ourselves and realize how desperately we need You through Your Spirit every hour. May we walk out of here depending on Him to live our life. In Jesus' name.